On to another subject involving kids, and indeed kids in a lot more trouble than mine was in around this time of the afternoon yesterday. And that is the crisis that our state's foster care system is in. Now, there was a report about this in the Sun Herald yesterday. It found that there are 15,000 children in state care, that reports of risk and harm are going ignored, with more than 9,000 child protection reports not being assessed by the Department of Communities and Justice, and half of all children spending over 5 years in state care before exiting the system. That is far too high, and in fact, four times higher than the national average. And 200 of these children were housed in six or more placements. The Department of Communities and Justice estimates an extra 600 foster carers are needed each year to take care of children who cannot live safely at home. Now, again, all these statistics are alarming enough when you think about just the numbers, the sheer scale of the problem. But when you actually put yourself in the shoes of a child who is not safe at home, whose parents aren't taking care of them, whose parents might be neglectful towards them, who might be on drugs, who might be abusive, they've been taken out of that home, that environment, which is horrible enough and traumatic enough as it is, and then they go through six or more placements in the case of these children. So they're not just going to another family that they then have to get used to or has to get used to them, but they get yanked out of that. Maybe they go home to the parents for a while, maybe the parents relapse, maybe they go to another place. It's just absolutely outrageous, and you would not believe how difficult it is to put an end to it. But one group that has been doing it for years now, I think a couple of decades, if I'm correct, the fine people of Adopt Change. This was founded by Deborah Lee Furness, who I think should be remembered much more for this than for some of the other headlines that are about her in the last few days. And the CEO of Adopt Change is Renee Carter, and she joins me on the line right now. G'day, Renee. How are you? Welcome to Afternoons.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me on for a chat.
An absolute pleasure. Talk us through. This report couldn't come at a more relevant time, because last week was actually a week where we're meant to be celebrating foster carers. It was Foster and Kinship Care Week, where we're meant to be elevating the incredible role that these people play in our community. And now we've seen with the report over the weekend just how vital and necessary that role is.
It's such a critical role, and without enough carers, we're seeing kids in terrible situations, and it's heartbreaking.
What do we need to do? I mean, these statistics that we saw over the weekend would not have been a surprise to you. You've been working in this field for years. You know how acute the problem is. Just talk us through, for people who might be blissfully unaware of just how sort of Byzantine and difficult the system is to navigate, what are the hurdles?
Look, at the moment, the reality is that there aren't enough people stepping up to open their homes for kids. And one of those reasons, I guess, is the current economic climate. And so that's understandable. But the reality is that really these kids, if there isn't a home, we are seeing that they're ending up in temporary housing situations, including motels. So, look, it's around making sure that people are aware that it's something that is needed, and that's why we're speaking with you and trying to let people know that we really need more homes for kids. And I guess the changing situation is that we're seeing younger and younger children in that situation, and we can often be looking for a home for a child as young as 2 years old.
Oh, that's just heartbreaking when you think about it. And again, the numbers are bad enough, but you actually think about, try to picture, you know, the face of a two-year-old child who isn't being cared for at home, might be being abused or mistreated at home, and they're having to be taken out, and sometimes there's not even an emergency temporary family for them to go to, and they have to end up, you know, in state care, state share houses, or even motels, as you say. That turns your gut, doesn't it?
It does. Really, children need to be raised by families. So we need to know that everything's been done with the child's parents to try and keep them at home safely. But the reality is there's a number of children that can't stay at home, that isn't the situation. And so we have to do whatever it takes to make sure there are alternative homes for them to go to, and that it's one home, so that there's permanency and stability for that child, not them bouncing around a system and popping out the other end worse for wear.
And I wanted to get to that, and I'm glad you brought it up, because it's there's sort of a double hurdle, isn't there? Firstly, there's the hurdle with not enough foster carers being there in the first place, so not every child actually gets to go straight into foster care if they are if they do have to be removed from their parents, which is, you know, bad enough as it is. But then there is that problem that a child could end up with a family that loves them, that wants them. The child wants to be there. The family wants to have the child there permanently. But there are then further hurdles between turning that foster care into a proper permanent adoption arrangement.
Yes, there needs to be more investment made into having enough caseworkers and enough focus in the system on actually providing a child with a case plan around permanency. So if that permanency looks like a child returning home to family, then that needs to be prioritised. And I believe that's taking sometimes double the amount of time for a child to return, which then also means that there's less foster carers available for other children. And then there need to be other permanent options where a child is provided either guardianship or adoption when that's the best option for them. And by and large, for a lot of the kids, we also need kinship carers who are family or community members where a child's able to remain connected to their family and their community and their school. So we're trying to keep as many children connected in that way.
And you mentioned that it's a shortage of caseworkers that seems to be gumming up that process, slowing up that process. Is that the main problem, or is there also issues around, I suppose, you know, that and which you can understand, of course, but that, you know, that there is such a sort of, and I use the word advisedly, but sort of a bias towards birth parents, a bias towards the natural parents when it comes to the best people to raise that child, that in a sense, a kid can be with foster carers in limbo, sort of on the assumption that they're eventually going to go back to their birth parents, but that may not ever eventuate, and they end up being deprived of that sense of permanency in the arrangement they're in. Have I explained that properly, or is that?
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. I think, unfortunately, what it is that we've ended up in this crisis state where a lot of the funding is spent on the crisis end. So it's very expensive to keep a child in a motel compared to the cost of supporting family or supporting a foster carer. So there's a massive disparity between those two, and at some point there has to be a shift where there's an investment made in whichever the most suitable option is. And in some cases it is the parents, and in other cases where it's known that that's not workable, to making it possible to have a quicker outcome for the child. Childhood's fleeting.
Yes,
so a child needs to spend the minimal amount of time in the system and then have the case plan decision around where they need to be permanently. And so it's really about shifting that funding that does exist, but it's being spent in the wrong end.
And again, does it come down to a shortage of caseworkers who are able to work with those families, work with those children, and then be able to make the call as to what the best option is? So is it the case that, you know, there actually is this this capacity for permanency, either with the birth parents or with, you know, a permanent foster care or guardianship or adoptive relationship, but there's simply not the people there on the ground to move those gears fast enough to get a result for that child while they're still a child?
Yes, there definitely needs to be more investment into that. And it's a really hard job to be a caseworker, to be dealing with these kinds of matters. You know, you wouldn't envy that role. And so really we need to make sure that we're looking after people in those roles, and we aren't seeing them exit the system themselves, because we really need people here making sure that the children are prioritised and they're getting home-based care. And the things that you get in a home, you know, if you're talking about your child and what you're giving them, just those everyday things, that's really all that these children need, is to know that there's somebody there for them, for, you know, buying them their favourite snack, showing up at school when they're in trouble, being there to talk to them about the joys and the difficulties in their little lives. It's just so critical.
Yeah, it really is. And again, you know, I think these were things I didn't really think about much until I became a parent myself. And then you look at your own kids and think, oh my God, I just cannot imagine a child going without the things that that so many of us take for granted. Renee, tell people, I know you guys are always on trying to get more people to think about foster care and to help ease this burden, and it's so rewarding in and of itself as well, and never more so than last week. But it should be Foster and Kinship Care Week every week. Where can people go if they want to find out a bit more and see if maybe it's something that they could do to help solve this crisis and to, I would imagine, inject a fair bit of real meaning and real worth and value into their own lives as well.
Absolutely. Look, we want to hear from everyday people. This doesn't take superheroes, although in some ways carers are the heroes in the situation. They're just everyday people that are providing kids with those everyday things. And that's something that anyone with the time and heart for kids can do and would have support and training. So they can have a look at our website, which is myforeverfamily.org.au for our New South Wales program. And we talk through with carers or potential people that are interested in caring, any questions and just finding out what it would take. There's all different kinds of care needed or different ages of children. It can be part-time or full-time care. There's a whole lot of different arrangements. And also our number is 1300 782 975. The team are very friendly and they're happy to answer any questions.
Fantastic. Renee Carter, CEO of Adopt Change, thank you very much for joining us on Afternoons. It's a fantastic cause.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Cheers. Take care. So there you go. And unlike the unlike some of the hurdles and the barriers we talked about, Adopt Change make it really, really easy for you. So just Google My Forever Family and it'll take you straight to all your questions answered. And it's a really easy way of getting involved if you're thinking about it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this.